Go ahead and take out your Bibles, and we are in the book of 2 Timothy tonight, and we are going through chapter 4. We've had a couple of messages there already, and we're going to do a little bit more digging tonight in relation to this powerful, powerful chapter. The Word of God is just so full of amazing truths and principles that really, for us as Christians, we should never tire of hearing. In some ways, the Christian life can be summed up in obedience and trusting Him. Really, that encompasses a lot of great things. But once you start breaking those elements down is when you start to get into the nitty-gritty, and we start to see a few more challenges coming out. Tonight, we're going to notice something that sort of flows in our progression of a study in the book of 2 Timothy, looking at chapter 4. If you were here in the past, you noticed as we were working down through, starting in verse 1 of chapter 4, you saw that we were looking at the priority of preaching. And in progression of thought, a lot of this chapter has to do with Christian service. And we looked at some of that last week. We talked about the priority of preaching and how in you and I's attempt to glorify God and serve Him, preaching should be something that we are drawn to, something that we should work to appreciate and enjoy, allowing your mind to wander and allowing your mind to sort of stray from services and things like that do not help accomplish this purpose. So I hope that in your mind you have maybe made a conscious effort to stay more engaged in thought processes as we go through different themes in preaching. We looked at that, and last week, or the week before rather, we looked at the plan of service. And this is really the X's and O's of how we can serve God. We saw this in the sacrifice that Paul had. We noticed his specific struggle as he describes the Christian life, not as a cakewalk or a bed of roses, but rather something that is a fight against our flesh and a fight against the devil and the world. There is a struggle that's involved. And then once we looked at that, we also understand that there's some special rewards out in the future. But so much of this relates again to our service to God. And that's where we're going to draw from tonight as we go into the next few verses, starting in verse 9. I'd like you to look there. And notice next what Paul says here. Notice what he says in verse 9. He says, "Do thy diligence," talking to Timothy here, "to come unto me, come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Notice verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychius have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring it with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Now, typically, when we read a series of verses like this, our flesh wants to check out, because a lot of these names maybe we don't recognize. But you understand tonight that every aspect of Scripture was written for a purpose. And these are not just meaningless details that Paul is uttering to Timothy. Paul has a specific purpose that Timothy would take note of this evening. Now, let me ask you this. When we talk about Timothy, Was Paul writing an individual here that was someone who would have been on the level with Paul in terms of spiritual maturity and maybe even age? Is that what we're looking at here? No, we look at Timothy and we notice that he's a younger individual. Timothy needs this instruction, especially as he's a young pastor in the ministry. There are some things that Timothy needed to learn. You know, one of the frustrations, I think, and Ms. Christine and I were talking about this the other night, is one of the frustrations of being young, I consider myself young, one of the frustrations is the fact that many times you don't have... Somebody laughing at me? Unbelievable. One of the frustrations that I have is sometimes, because you're young, you don't have the knowledge experience that comes simply by living life. Anybody ever had that type of frustration? Man, I just wish I could take that knowledge and implant it on my brain. Anybody identify with that? And that's just part of being young. There is a learning process that we all have to go through. And Paul's very specific to Timothy and says, hey, there's some things that you need to learn. And I think these are things that each one of us this evening needs to take note of. And so as we kind of turn our focus to this tonight, this is what I want to talk to you about this evening. And that is, I want us to notice Paul's essentials for making a difference. Paul's essentials for making a difference. When we look at this evening, one thing in particular we're going to look at is Paul's reflection of his brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe there's much that you and I can take away from this, but before we get too far into things, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we're here tonight, and Lord, we carry with us, Lord, burdens. We carry with us, Lord, needs. Lord, there are things that people in this room need, Lord, that Lord, we don't know about. Father, things that you know about, Lord, maybe some of those are spiritual needs. Some of those are, Lord, maybe even financial needs. Lord, only you know. Lord, sometimes these things, these thoughts, Lord, of things to come, and Lord, things that maybe even happen today that have us concerned, Lord, sometimes those things can, Lord, captivate our thinking. And Father, now especially, Lord, as we look to the thrust of the message that you have for us, Lord, we don't want to be distracted. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the one that is the least interested tonight. Lord, I pray that you would harness their attention. Lord, not because I'm a great speaker, but Lord, because your word is worthy and it's powerful. Lord, and it's effective. Lord, may all of our prayer tonight be, may we be difference makers for you. Lord, there's some truth here that if we can grab a hold of, Lord, it will help us in our service for you. I pray that you give us wisdom as we look at it. Lord, help me to know what to say and what not to, and I pray that you would be the manager of our time this evening. And we ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. Looking at Paul's essentials for making a difference. I want you to notice with me here in verse 9. Notice this word that Paul uses. He says, do thy diligence. This word diligence actually occurs earlier on in the book of 2 Timothy, and it shows up in another form. Paul says to study to show thyself approved. In other words, use diligence or use all effort to bring about an effective end. And what Paul is getting to here is he's asking Timothy to turn his concentration in the area of a particular service for the Lord. Now, we looked at last week, or 2 weeks ago, we looked at this theme of service and how so much of serving God is simply every day that I get up offering myself on his sacrificial altar. Hey, Lord, I'm not going to serve my flesh today or anyone else, but rather I'm going to serve you. That's something that each one of us has to do every single day. But how does that play out exactly? It is one thing to say, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I'm going to serve you, but it's another thing entirely to be what we would call effective in that service. How many of you enjoy a particular sport, such as maybe volleyball? You enjoy playing volleyball. You hate that it's only lasts for about 2 months, but you enjoy it nonetheless. How many of you enjoy volleyball? Okay, a lot of the ladies, some of the guys. Now, how many of you just simply enjoy volleyball because you like putting on the uniform and standing there? Oh, one. Okay. Yeah. Most of us know. Well, what's the end game? All of us, well, hey, we want to play and we want to be effective. Okay? That is the end game. And for you and I, our service for God should be the very same way. We should not just want to, well, Lord said serve him, so I'm going to serve him today, blah, blah, blah. Okay, all right, that's not the right approach. Our approach should be, Lord, you've called me to service today. Lord, how can I be effective in that service? Paul gives us three things. Tonight, we're just going to focus on one of those essentials for being effective in your Christian service for the Lord. Notice the first thing that he shows us here, and that is Paul mentions his love for service companions. His love for service companions. Now, we won't take the time to do it, but much of the verses that have already been read tonight are verses that have to do with people that Paul knows. Okay, these are people that he has spent a significant amount of time with in serving the Lord. And he goes through and he mentions these people. I want us to notice a couple of things about those individuals, but don't miss this. In order for you and I to be effective in our Christian service for God, that means offering ourselves every single day, Lord, I'm at your disposal. I'm living this life for your glory, not my own. We have to love the people around us. Now, tonight, most certainly, we need to love the unsaved. We need to, yes, absolutely. But tonight, for our purposes, we're speaking mainly about those brothers and sisters in Christ. Those people, look to your left. Look to your right. Okay, look up. No, there's nobody up there, okay? These are the people that are in this room tonight, the people that, listen, the people that you rub shoulders with on a daily basis. You realize that God wants you, listen, God wants you to love the people around you, okay? Now, I recognize that there are some people that don't like to be with other people, okay? How many of you would say this? You know what, Brother Scott? I don't need necessarily a big circle of friends. In fact, I enjoy my time alone. Anybody like that? And say, that's just the way I am, okay? Yeah, everybody. Okay, that's interesting. Okay. So listen. I understand that there's an aspect in which all of us like our alone time. But understand this, you are not going to be able to effectively, get this, listen, you're not going to be able to effectively serve God without loving the brothers and sisters in Christ around you. You can't do it. There was a man that I was reading about a couple of weeks ago, and at the age of 55 years old, he was a millionaire. He lost all of his money in the stock market. Gone. You know what he did? He moved to an island to live by himself. He's still there. He's 73 years old, and he's living on an island all by himself, okay? Listen, now, you and I don't have the ability to move to our own private island and just, you know, exist with nature around us, okay? We don't have that ability. But listen, even if we did, for some reason, want to do that, it wouldn't be something that would be honoring to the Lord, because the Lord has so designed the Christian life and service to him to be in connection with serving with other people. I want to give you a couple of references for your notes tonight, but notice this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. You understand that the church itself is not person-oriented, it's people-oriented. Okay, as Paul so many times says over and over again in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, hey, listen, know ye not that we are the body of Christ? Is Sophie important? Yes, she is as an individual, but understand this, that she is a part of the whole. The same thing could be said for Derek. The same thing could be said for Jacob, okay? Each one of them as individual members, yes, absolutely 100% important, but each one of us contribute to the whole. And that's what Paul is saying. Hey, listen, no, you're not. You're a part of the body of Christ. This is the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 talks about how each are connected to the whole, and by serving together and serving each other, we thereby bring glory to God. Paul had a deep love for those he was able to serve alongside, and he draws some very unique conclusions from these individuals that we see mentioned here. Now, as we look at these, I want you to just take note of a couple of things. The first person here that Paul mentions is he mentions Timothy. So if you're taking notes, we could say this, that Paul had a love for Timothy, but his relationship with Timothy was that of like a son. Listen, a lot of these relationships that Paul had are relationships that God is going to give you. Okay? Paul was in a particular situation where God led Timothy to him. Paul took the time to show Timothy the steps to take in the Christian life and drawing closer to the Lord. That took time. Realize this, that God wants to use you to help someone else grow. But he can't use you if you're not growing yourself. Okay, Paul took the time to spend with Timothy, and it's something that each one of us ought to consider. What did the Lord say? He said, hey, go ye therefore, make disciples, right? So as I am a Christian, as Micah is a Christian, as Sophie is a Christian, we have a responsibility then to reach out to others and help them grow. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody in your life right now that you're helping grow spiritually? Somebody come to mind? Is there anybody that, like Paul said, you know what, I love Timothy, my son in the faith, he calls him another place. They had a special relationship, but you know what? Something like that takes time. You know, I highly doubt that the thing that drew Paul to Timothy was just they had the same personality. I highly doubt that. I believe that Paul, an individual who had an incredible amount of knowledge concerning the scriptures and a whole lot of other things, a very educated man, I highly doubt that Timothy had that same knowledge. He didn't. In fact, Timothy, we know he was younger. He wasn't educated in spiritual things. Timothy was weak. Paul had to make a special effort to minister to Timothy. Do you make special efforts to minister to other people? Say, what kind of opportunity do I have? Well, certainly in the context of a church, in the context of our teen group, certainly there's some olders who can reach down to the youngers. You know, there's two ways that we can learn how to do things in the teen department. Okay, one way is for Brother Scott and for the youth workers to walk around yelling in everybody's ear, hey, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. Okay, that gets old even for me, okay? There's another way, and that is each of us leading by example and even going to the next extent, which says, hey, I bet you that individual doesn't know some things. And then you begin to reach out to them. And then maybe you begin to support them from a spiritual standpoint and to help them grow. You know, this is all part of what Paul's trying to show us about loving our brethren. We are a part of each other's life, whether we like it or not, because we are connected as a body, as the Bible says it. And if you want to be effective in your Christian life, you're going to have to an extent, get sociable with some of the people around you. Now, are there areas in which we're not always going to agree? Well, certainly. Okay, are there areas that maybe of potential conflict in the future? Well, certainly, we're all human, but that doesn't discount our responsibility to it. Let me ask you, is there somebody in your life right now that you are working to make a difference in? Maybe helping them grow spiritually. Paul had a Timothy, and he loved them. Notice the second name that's mentioned here. Notice what he says. He says, do thy diligence, talking about Timothy. But then notice what he says here. He goes on to mention the next person, not who you'd think. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me. So we notice Demas here, and we notice this, that some companions that we have, some relationships, some fellowships, may abandon the work. This section is all about Paul's relationships in the Christian life. Okay, there were some that were like a son in the faith. I'm helping bring them along. I've got my eye on them. I want to see them grow. I want to see them do well. But on the other hand, Paul draws our attention to, hey, there's going to be some occasions where there may be people that we choose to love, some people that we know well that are going to abandon the work. I don't even have to ask the question tonight, but for sake of illustration, I ask the back row this evening, not the back row, but the wall. Let me ask you, are there people that you know of today, maybe that you grew up with or that you knew, people that maybe came to services or said they had a love for God that are not doing what's right today? Raise your hand if that's the case. Everybody's hands up, okay? And let me tell you, it's not that we plan on that, but there's a reality to it, okay? There may be some people in this very room, and I hope that's not going to be the case, but there may be some people who just, for whatever reason, abandon the work. How do you respond in that situation? How do you respond to a person that says, you know what, look, I don't want to have any part of that? You know what I believe the response of Paul was? You know what? Just like I love Timothy, I love Demas. You know, I don't think Paul ever scratched off Demas' name off his prayer list. In fact, I think that's the reason why he shares this information with Timothy. I think Timothy knew Demas. I think he's saying, hey, listen, Demas, forsaken, having loved this present world, hey, let's not forget to pray for him. All right. The truth is there are going to be people that disappoint us in the Christian life, and it could be a close friend. But we just need to understand that we ought to still have a love for them nonetheless. So we see Timothy, we see Demas. Notice the next one here, and I thought this was very interesting. He says, Demas forsaken me. Notice there the bottom of verse 10. He says this, Crescens to Galatia. Now he doesn't say much about this, and does anybody know anything about Crescens? Anybody know anything about him? Anybody know anything about him? Ethan? Okay. All right. Anybody else? You know what's interesting about Crescens? He's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. And I think that's very interesting. So here we have Paul drawing attention to an individual who is not very well known at all, as far as that we can tell. Listen, here's the principle, okay? In serving God, it is not a requirement that you are well known. Okay? Sometimes we have the idea that, well, you know, the pastor, that's who serves God, you know, or hey, you know, Don Sisk, wow, powerhouse of a man. He serves God. Or, you know, the man that spends 20 hours a day in his Bible, he serves God, right? Hey, no. Understand this, that's a misconception. God can use any person in this room in his service. And God may not give you an opportunity where it's a public type setting. You know, there are certain gifts that are very public, okay? You know, you think of maybe the gift of music, okay? The gift of music is a gift, and most of the time we're able to use that in a public setting, okay? God may give you that opportunity. But there's a lot of other gifts that are not public. You know, think about giving. Giving, it can be one of the most private things, but yet it's an act of worship, and it's a gift that some people have. You know, I think about the prayer warriors that I've known growing up, people who just, man, they constantly ask, hey, do you have any prayer requests, anything I can pray about, you know, or just they've got a prayer chain ministry. You know, I believe that when we get to heaven, I believe that there's going to be some very unknown people who are going to be receiving some of the greatest rewards in heaven. I really believe that. I believe that God has people all around this world and throughout history who you and I would never even know their name, and yet they have been quietly serving God behind the scenes, taking their gift that God has given them and just putting it to use. Hey, God can use you tonight. You say, Brother Scott, I can't sing. That doesn't matter. You say, Brother Scott, I'm not called to be a preacher. That doesn't matter either. God wants you to use your gift. And just as we don't even know who this Crescens was because he's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture, God can use people who maybe don't necessarily have a lot of influence. Look in contrast to this. Paul, loving the different people around him, brings up another name here. Notice what he says. He says, Demas, forsaken me. Then he goes on to talk about Crescens to Galatia. And then he mentions Titus. You know, the interesting thing about Titus is the fact that Titus had a lot of influence. Titus was, in fact, he's mentioned 10 other places by Paul in Scripture. Titus was somebody that was mentioned by Paul several times and appears to be an individual that was given great influence. How many of you have ever met somebody before that just was like a magnet to people? You know what I'm talking about? They just had this magnetism about it that just seemed like they could take the lead and just draw people to themselves. Hey, anybody ever met anybody like that before? You know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you that is something, that's a gift that the Lord gives individuals. And you know, sometimes if we don't have that gift, sometimes we can sit back and we can criticize that person and say, oh, they just want all the attention. Or, oh, they, you know, that's just how they are. You know, when all actuality, Paul brings us together and says, hey, listen, God's using this person over here. Hey, God's using a Crescens who nobody knows their name, and yet they're off serving the Lord. And Paul draws us, he says, hey, Titus, Lord is using Titus. We ought to love him. And you know what? If God's given you the ability of magnetism and the ability to lead, boy, that's a tremendous opportunity for you to serve the Lord. And you ought to use it to the advantage of and glory of God. He mentions here, Titus. Notice the next one that he mentions here, and I love this. Look at what he says. Titus unto Dalmatia, verse 11, he says, only who? Only Luke is with me. Okay, now, stay with me. Is Paul in a great situation at the writing of this book? Yes or no? No, he's not. Where's he at? He's in prison, okay? He's in a horrible prison, okay? Understand that prison today is like a resort compared to what he was in, okay? Paul's in a terrible situation, and he says this, there's a person that has stuck by me. You know, you do some study of Luke, and you find out this. He accompanied Paul on his second and third missionary journey. When you look in the book of Acts and you see the shipwreck taking place, who's there along with him? It's Luke. You know, God used Luke to write some of the New Testament, which was something he had in common with Paul. And we also know that Luke was a physician. But many times we find Luke accompanying Paul. And you know what? Sometimes, and I want you to get this, sometimes the Lord's going to knit your heart with an individual that is a spiritual person, and you are going to be sharpened by that person. Don't take that person for granted. You know, I think Paul's drawing attention to Luke here and saying, sort of as a commendation, hey, let me just tell you, Timothy, you know, Luke's here. He's not left me. We've been through a lot together, but he's still here. I believe Paul loved Luke. I really do. I believe he was very grateful and thankful for Luke's ministry to him. You know, listen, every Paul needs a Luke. You know, and Paul always had that individual that was right by him at different parts. Sometimes it was Barnabas, right? But Luke was that individual that was with him at this point. Let me ask you, are you thankful for the placing of a spiritual friend in your life? Do you have a spiritual friend? Do you have somebody that when you get around them, boy, you just feel a little bit closer to the Lord? Hey, thank the Lord for that person. Paul here draws attention to some relationships that he's had. We see here, he says, only Luke is with me. Notice, getting close to the end here, as we notice a couple of more names, Paul says this. He says, notice Mark in verse 11. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, somebody tell me something about Mark, okay? We've got a good group here tonight. We should be able to pick this out. All right, Andrew, tell me about it. He had left Paul. Okay. All right. Anybody want to add to? Yes. Right. So Mark is somebody that Paul picked up along the way. Barnabas, Mark, and Paul are all together. At some point and for some reason, Mark decides this isn't for me, the timing's wrong, or for whatever reason, he goes back. And because of this, there becomes a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Paul sort of goes on in his ministry, and Barnabas decides to go after Paul, go after Mark. And really, I believe, was the reason that Mark comes back to the Lord. But I think here that Mark illustrates somebody that comes back to the Lord. Whereas Paul's writing saying, hey, listen, Demas has left, and I don't know if he's coming back. Paul gets to Mark, and he says, praise the Lord, Mark has come back. Bring him with me. Bring him with you. He's profitable unto me for the ministry. Listen, if you've got a friend, and if you have a friend in the future, listen, don't lose hope and faith in them or God's ability to bring them back to the Lord. You know, there's a handful of people that cross my mind that I pray for. People that have, for whatever reason, they've set their Christianity on the shelf and gone another direction. This is a great reminder for us that God can take circumstances, He can take situations that we don't even know about, and He has a way of leading His sheep back to Him. Mark's a great example of that. Listen, don't quit praying for that individual in your life that maybe goes astray. Paul here wants us to continue to love our brothers and sisters around us and uses Mark as another example of a person and their behavior. Notice with me here the last couple of things. He says in verse 12, Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. And he also mentions Carpus. He mentions here as well. These last two illustrate individuals that were skilled in service and in hospitality. We don't have time to develop those thoughts, but let me just say this. Our youth group is made up of a lot of different people. And if you have the mindset, you know what? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to keep my head down, and I'm going to do my own thing. You can do that for a while, but you have to understand that that's not the type of behavior that pleases God. Because somebody needs your influence. And whether you realize it or not, you need somebody else's influence. Paul's at the end of his life. He's taking inventory of his relationships. You know, I don't believe, as Paul sat in that jail cell, I don't believe that he felt lonely one bit. I believe that he could look back over the course of his life and see how loving people had made a difference in his life and in other people's lives. And my desire is that every single one of us in this room tonight would realize the responsibility we have to each other to reach out, to help, to pray for, to develop relationships, and to grow closer and tighter together as a body for the Lord. We're stronger when we're unified. And that's what we need to pursue. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, Lord's laid on your heart a Timothy. Somebody that you say, you know what, they need a little bit of encouragement. And nobody may be the person to do it, but I'm going to. Maybe tonight, Lord's brought somebody to mind that maybe strayed a little bit spiritually. Maybe you haven't taken the time to pray for that individual, but you know that it's important. Maybe you want to make a commitment tonight to continue to pray for them. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you just say, you know, Brother Scott, I come and I keep to myself and I kind of keep my head down, but tonight, Lord's convicted me that I need to be reaching out more. I need to be making myself available to other people. Not because I want to, but because it's necessary and right if we're going to make a difference and be effective in our service for God. How are your relationships with your peers? How are you considering other people? Heavenly Father, Lord, our lives are so much about the relationships that we have. Sometimes, Lord, we get too focused on one individual, Lord, or no individuals. I pray, Lord, that wouldn't be our problem in our youth group. Lord, even as we approach teen camp, Father, I pray that, Lord, the arms of camaraderie and edification, Lord, would lift us up. Lord, that each one of us would see our responsibility that we have to each other. Lord, we want to do more for you. We want to be more of a light for you. Lord, we want to be more effective for you. Lord, help us to start by loving each other. How many of you, by the uplifted hand tonight, you say, talked about a lot of different aspects, but there's something that the Holy Spirit specifically spoke to my heart about in relation to loving others tonight, and I just want to lift my hand in testimony to that. Anybody like that tonight by the uplifted hand? I encourage you, do business with the Lord this evening. As the instrument begins to play, the altar is open, and you're more than welcome to come pray. You need to think more about others and less about yourself. Maybe the Lord's worked in your heart tonight. I encourage you to do it. Now, I believe that there are going to be some people who get to the end of their life and experience a great loneliness. Maybe in the terms of the world, they've lived a successful life. But you know, that really doesn't matter to me. I want to know what's effective, what is success in the eyes of the Lord. Loving each other is a great place to start. Another minute. Amen.